ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, and welcome once again to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. On this beautiful occasion of Sankranti, on this day when there should be a Kranti, there should be a change in our journey towards Bhagwan, in our Odyssey towards the divine lotus feet, my mind goes back to an incident that happened in 1949, and it happened on 14th January. Towards the end of 1949, Mother Ishwarama's second daughter, Parvatamma, was in the family way, and she came to Puttaparthi from her in-law's place along with her two sons. Unfortunately, Parvatamma Garu at that time had lost her husband. Very recently she had lost her husband, and she was housed in a small room in the house of Karnam Subbamma. And when 1950 dawned, on 14th January 1950, she suddenly went into labor. Now it was a festival day, and Mother Ishwarama was so anxious because it was so difficult to find a midwife on a busy day like Makar Sankranti, because in South India you would find this festival celebrated everywhere. Not only South India, we know that this is celebrated all over India in different names, in different forms. So Mother Ishwaramma was very concerned what to do, because Parvatamma is already into labor. And she started looking for who can help her in this difficult situation. And as she was running here and there looking for who can help her daughter, suddenly she sees that Bhagwan is briskly walking and coming towards Parvatamma's room, towards Karnam Subbamma's room where Parvatamma was there. And Swami told all the devotees, stay here, don't follow me. Bhagwan went to the room of Parvatamma, and Swami called out to her, and Swami put one foot inside. Swami did not enter the room. Swami just asked her to open the room slightly. Swami just put his one foot inside and asked Parvatamma to take Pad Namaskar. And once she touched Bhagwan's feet, Swami then closed the door and waited outside. And in a few minutes, Parvatamma had a very easy delivery on the auspicious day of Makara Sankranti. Makara Sankranti, Pongal, Bihu, Lohri. That is the glory of touching the lotus feet of the Lord. And Swami informed everyone, a girl child is born, a girl child is born. when the time for the child's naming ceremony came, Bhagwan named the child as Samrajya Lakshmi. Samrajya Lakshmi is the goddess who bestows the gift of a sovereign state, gives you all the wealth, all the prosperity. Madhurishwar Amma actually was wondering, why is Swami giving such an auspicious name to such an unfortunate child? She felt that child is unfortunate because the child is born at a time when she would never ever have a father. And Swami said, oh, why are you feeling this way? There is no connection between her birth and her father's death. And Bhagwan told Parvatamma, all your three children, I will take care of them. And that is how it was in her life. That is how it is in the lives of so many devotees. Isn't it? This lovely opportunity to touch his feet can change our lives forever. This opportunity to offer ourselves at his feet will start a new trajectory in our life. This opportunity of his proximity will remove everything that is unholy and fill us with the bliss of his glory, his beauty, and his profound love, profound presence, profound grace. I was sharing with you the stories from the life of P. Suryakantamma Garu in this session in the last few weeks. Suryakantamma Garu, who had the opportunity to see Bhagwan way back in early 60s, 1961, she came to Prashantinilayam. In the 50s itself, she saw Swami, but in the Shivaratri of 1961, she had her first darshan of Bhagwan, and Bhagwan gave her an interview, and I have shared with you all those stories of how she comes from a family of freedom fighters and how she was always passionate about serving the nation as well as worshipping Lord Panduranga, and how Bhagwan blessed her with the vision of Panduranga, and how her life completely took a kranti, a dramatic paradigm shift, and Prashanti became everything for her. And I told you how she was part of Bhagwan's entourage when Bhagwan went to Sri Salem. On December 4th, 1963, Bhagwan was in Sri Salem in the Kurnool district of Andhra Pradesh, and he visited many other places during that week of December 4th to December 9th, 1963. And Bhagwan had permitted Suryakantamma Garu to join this group in Sri Shailam, because Suryakantamma Garu at that time was the sarpanch, and later on she had become part of the Chilla Parishad, and she used to do a lot of social work, a lot of work for the village. In fact, he's one of those very, very rare women who had leadership position way back in 1950s and early 60s. And as a single mother, there were very extremely few women in that era who were working with the government and getting things done, and who were into full-time social service and part of the district administration. Even though Kantamma Garu was not highly educated, but she was one of sharp acumen and she knew how to get things done. Coming from a freedom fighter's family, she was filled with passion to serve fellow brethren. And Swami told her, you don't disturb your work, you come directly there to Sri Shailam. And I told you how she was with Bhagwan when Swami went to the holy shrine of Mallikarjuna on the 6th of December 1963, how she had the opportunity to witness the Abhishekam and the materialization of Vibhuti that Bhagwan did and applied it on the Mallikarjuna Linga. She saw how Swami created those golden tummi flowers and golden bilva leaves and showered it on the Linga, and how Bhagwan gave the discourse, a very powerful discourse on that occasion. And Swami said, let all the believers in God proclaim the value of meditation on God. I will bless that endeavor and I will save you. I will save the country. And even as Bhagwan was speaking, he created a golden medallion of Shiva and Parvati. I told you how after this Bhagwan went and blessed the Sri Shailam Dam project, the third largest capacity hydroelectric project in the country, and how Swami told the workers there that channelize your passions into useful fields. And Swami said, damn all the unholy tendencies that are there in your hearts and canalize them into useful activities. And then on the 7th of December 1963, Swami went to Mahanandi, another famous shrine of Shiva. And in the evening around 6 p.m., I shared with you how Bhagwan created Amritam. Mysteriously, a pot of nectar manifested in the garland that Sri Kutumbarao offered Bhagwan, and how Swami blessed every devotee with a drop of that ethereal ambrosia. And after that, Bhagwan started off for Kurnool on that same night, December 7, 1963. There were buses that were arranged, the buses that had come from Prashant and Elim. And all this was managed by the earthly cousin brother of Bhagwan, Kristappa. And now for Surya Kantamagaru, there was a problem because Kristappa said that only those who have come in the bus from Prashanthi Nilayam can go further. Surya Kantamagaru joined that group in Sri Shailam. So he said that, since you are not part of the group from Prashanthi Nilayam, I don't have permission to allow you to come into the bus. And Surya Kantamagaru, after having joined Bhagwan's group, she did not want to go back. She wanted to be there with Swami till the end of the journey and go back to Puttaparthi with all the other devotees who were part of Swami's retinue. But Kristappa said, no, only if Swami approves, then you will have the opportunity to be a part of this group henceforth from here. And Bhagwan very kindly gave the approval and she joined the group. And she told that, I will be with the group till this beautiful odyssey of Bhagwan ends. And Kristappa Garu checked with Bhagwan and Swami said, yes, let her be part of the group. When you are with Bhagwan, nothing happens without his approval. And for Surya Kantamagaru, that was such a priceless opportunity to travel with Bhagwan as he was visiting the sacred shrines. I told you how the Mallikarjuna shrine is also a Shakti Pitha, apart from being a Jyotirlinga. And once they were in Kurnool, Swami suggested that all the members of the team should visit a Shirdi Baba temple after taking a dip in the Tungabhadra. There was a famous Shirdi Baba temple. Shirdi Baba there was resplendent. And after the devotees had the darshan of Shirdi Sai, the journey continued to Dronachalam. There was one devotee there, Venkateshwarlu, who was a member of the Legislative Assembly, and he hosted Bhagwan, and he had organized a public meeting for Bhagwan. In fact, Dronachalam is called so because it is believed that Dronacharya, the tutor of the Pandavas and the Kauravas from Mahabharata, meditated on a hill in that village. That's why it is called as Dronachalam. And it is one of the biggest municipalities in the Kurnool district of Andhra Pradesh. So Swami was there in Dronachalam. And by the time the meeting got completed in Dronachalam, it was December 8, 1963, late in the night. And there was a delicious dinner that was arranged. But the dinner was to be served not in Dronachalam, but on the way. So all the dinner was packed in big baskets. There was upma that was done with a lot of cashew nuts, and there was so many other items that were packed by the devotees in Dronachalam. There was also a sweet bundi prepared in pure ghee. So all these things were packed. There was a separate carriage that they had prepared for Bhagwan. So the journey continued beyond Dronachalam now. Now it was the return trip. They were coming back to Puttaparthi. It was already December 8th, as I said. On December 9th, they were in Puttaparthi. So as they were nearing Puttaparthi, Anantapur, which is the district headquarters of Puttaparthi, has a village before the district, before the city comes as you travel towards Puttaparthi. So you have the village Pamidi, which is near Kutti. Pamidi is 2 hours 20 minutes from Prashantinilam. It's about 111 kilometers. And so Bhagwan said that we will stop in Pamidi. And so all the dinner that was packed was now to be served in Pamidi. There was a pond. The flow wasn't too high. There was a steady stream of water. And there was a road bridge, also called a causeway, which was constructed over the pond. So even if the water level rises due to the rains, the water flows very easily via the causeway and the road is never disturbed. And the road after the causeway was laid in cement so that it does not worn out due to the flow of water. So by the time Bhagwan's group reached Pamidi, it was 9 p.m. and all the vehicles were packed and the dinner was arranged now on the side of the road. In those days, there was not much traffic. Especially in the nights, the traffic was non-existent. Because existent, we are talking about 1963. So there were leaves that were laid before all the devotees. And now Swami was so happily personally serving that dinner. And Swami would always do this. If you are traveling with Bhagwan, if you have stayed with Bhagwan, if you have seen Bhagwan at close quarters, Swami would always love to serve. So Swami was personally serving the dinner that was packed. And it was all dark. So Swami was carrying a flashlight. And then Swami would flash the light on the leaf. And then Swami would himself serve the upma. And Swami would keep asking every member, do you want more? You want more? No, you should eat well. And in fact, it was very cold also. It was in the night. And there was this breeze. So Swami actually tied a kerchief over his hair, over his ears, and it looked very beautiful to see Swami in that informal ambience. And Swami kept serving more helpings of the upma. And Swami said, you eat this upma fast, after that I have sweets to give you. And the devotees, after they finished the upma, they would go down to the pond to wash their hands. And Suryakanta Magaru also went to the pond, and she took a bottle along with her. And there was another lady who accompanied her. And as she was collecting water towards the end of that causeway, కాంతమ్మ గారు అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ స్టెప్డ్ ఇన్ టు ది కాజ్ వే ఇన్ టు ద పాండ్ అట్ అన్ ఏరియా విచ్ వాజ్ స్లిపరీ అండ్ షీ స్లిప్డ్ అండ్ షీ ఫెల్ ఇన్ టు ద పాండ్ ఇన్ టు ద వాటర్స్ అండ్ దర్ వాజ్ అ బాటిల్ ఇన్ హర్ హ్యాండ్ అండ్ సో హర్ బాటిల్ వాజ్ రేస్డ్ అండ్ షీ డిడ్ నో వాట్ టు డూ షీ జస్ట్ శాంక్ డౌన్ అండ్ ద పాండ్ వాజ్ డీప్ వాటర్ ఎంటర్డ్ హర్ నోజ్ హర్ ఇయర్స్ అండ్ she thought it's all over because she was just going down and she thought Swami, she just cried out and she said it's all over and suddenly she found a firm landing. So she stood there, there was some pipe or something there, she found that landing. Just when she thought that it is all over, she figured that she was able to stand, her legs found something solid, but the flow of water was there till her neck and the road was 2 feet high. She still had that bottle in her hand and the lady that had accompanied her, she started screaming, she started shouting, and so there was one man nearby. That man came holding a light, a torch light, and you know, in those days in India, generally men would not come near women. Men would especially, they would not definitely touch younger women, and we're talking about 1960s. So this man also was figuring out what to do to help this lady to come out. And even as Kantamma Garu was crying out and struggling, suddenly she found something to hold. And she held on to that and she tried to lift herself up. Swami and the group, they were all there 100 yards away. And it was quite a miraculous recovery for her to somehow find something to hold and come up on her own. So she rescued herself. No one had to touch her, no one had to go near her. Somehow she was able to come out of the water, but she was completely wet. And Swami was there serving food. She had just finished her upma and she had come. Swami was now distributing sweet bundi to all. And so she quickly went. Anyway, it was night, it was dark, so she went to the bus away from the group so that nobody can notice her, and somehow she managed to change her dress and she came to where all were sitting for food. And Swami was now almost towards the end of the serving session because almost everybody had the sweet, and by the time Kantamma Garu reached there with her new sari and her hair was still wet, and devotees, when they saw her in the dark, they couldn't really figure out that anything was wrong with her. And she also tried to pretend as if everything is fine, nothing had happened. And they say, hey, go, where were you? Go front, Swami is giving sweet. So she also sort of jumped up and went in the front. And looking at that little commotion there, Swami looked at Kantamma Garu. Swami just turned and said, hey, where have you been? So long after having upma, I've been serving sweets and you were not there. Did you have upma or not? She said, yes, Swami. Then Swami gave the sweet, and then Swami gave a large quantity of sweet to her, and Swami told her to have the food. And then Bhagwan, as he was casually talking with all the devotees, Swami went and Swami saw the causeway, and Swami saw that the flow of water has increased. Swami said, see, there is a lot of water here, so let us change the route. Then after all, if you get into the bus, your respective buses, even though it was 10 p.m. in the night, Swami said, let us take a different route. So they rerouted to Dharmavaram. Swami said, we should go to Dharmavaram now via Mudigubba. And so that change in the travel plans happened, and now they went back and they came via Mudigubba through the small villages to Bukkapatnam, and from Bukkapatnam they came to Puttaparthi, and by the time this group reached Puttaparthi, it was 3:30 a.m. December 9, 1963, and Bhagwan, even though he retired so late in the night, at 6:30 he was there ready for darshan. Even though it was almost 3:30 by the time they came back after a tiring bus journey, Swami was there 6:30, and Swami said, all of you who are returning back to the villages, you all be seated. I will call each one of you personally and I'll give you interview, and after that you can go back to your places. And Suryakantamma garu, as I said, she was part of the government in the district level, and there was a meeting that she had to attend in a few days. So she was really waiting anxiously for her turn. And when Bhagwan called her, with lot of happiness and joy and gratitude, she went inside the interview room. And Swami told her, see, the tour was very nice, isn't it? And Swami said, I know that you enjoyed the trip. I know you love to be in the shrine in Srishailam. And she said, Swami, it is just your grace. I was part of the tour only because of your love and your grace, Swami. And before the interview, there was a pandit of the Veda Pathshala. At that time, Bhagwan had this Veda Pathshala where Swami had Vedic pandits teach Vedic hymns to little children. Like the Veda Pathshalas of yore, in 60s, Swami had set up this institution dedicated to teaching India's ancient sacred wisdom. And you had many students in the Veda Pathshala then, and Swami used to take a lot of personal interest in the grooming of these children. Later on, of course, the Veda Pathshala merged into the higher secondary school. So one of the pundits of the Veda Pathshala told Kantamma garu, why don't you ask Swami to come to your place? But when you ask, don't say, Swami, come to my village. You should tell, Swami, please come to our village. Don't tell my village. Everything is his. You ask Swami to come to our village. And so, when Kantamma garu got that opportunity to be with Bhagwan after the trip, so she told Bhagwan, Swami, please come to our village, Swami. Please come to our village. Come to our house. And Swami said, yes, yes, I will come. I will come for sure. And when Bhagwan said that, Kantamma garu thought, wow, but I should tell Bhagwan the address of my place, isn't it? Whenever Swami is doing the plans next time, whenever Swami is visiting West Godavari district, he should come to my place. So she said, Swami, my village is Satyavada, Swami, and it is in the Tanuka municipality, Swami, in the district West Godavari. All that, she started telling the details of her place, and Swami said, yeah, I know, I will come. When I come to Rajahmundry, which is the headquarters of West Godavari district, Swami said, when I come to Rajahmundry, I will come. And then Swami said, Kantamma, sometime ago I had gone that side. There used to be a devotee, Appa Rao, who had the opportunity to serve Swami, personally be the servitor of Bhagwan. He served Swami for many years, and his village was next to Satyavada. That village name is Kaladhari. So there was one occasion when Bhagwan had crossed Satyavada and gone to Kaladhari. You can go to Kaladhari only through Satyavada. So Swami had gone and visited the house of Appa Rao. Swami had blessed the parents of Appa Rao. And in those days, Kantamma garu had just known Bhagwan. And when the villagers of Satyavada realized that Bhagwan had crossed this village and gone to Kaladhari, they thought, when Bhagwan returns, will block Swami's car, and Swami should come to our village also. And so they did a kind of a ghirao. They blocked the road, and when Bhagwan returned, and they said, "No, Swami, you have to come to our village." And Kantamma Garu had collected a lot of jasmine flowers and all that, so she poured all those, she showered all those flowers on Bhagwan's car, and the villagers there stopped the car. But with Bhagwan was Karunyanandaji, a sage who used to live and travel with Bhagwan. Karunyanandaji was a very ardent devotee of Bhagwan. He used to wear ochre robes, and one of those devotees who enjoyed Bhagwan's physical proximity in those days. And Karunyanandaji, who was in Bhagwan's car, he came out of the car and he said, "Hey, please, all of you, don't block the car. You make way, because Bhagwan is getting late. We have to go to Chebrol. There was another meeting arranged there." And so he felt that it is not possible for Bhagwan to suddenly change plans and go to another village, because all the other plans will get affected. So, but the devotees, the villagers of Satyavada, they were not relenting. They wanted Bhagwan to come to the village, and so they were like so unhappy with Karunyanandaji that he was spoiling their plans, and he was coming in between them and Bhagwan. And actually at that point in time, it was Kantamma Garu who called all the villagers and said, "Say, let us not do this, let us do everything with dignity. Please don't block the road for Bhagwan. We will pray to Swami and let Swami do whatever is best." And in fact, it was because of Kantamma Garu's interference that Bhagwan's journey could proceed on that occasion. And Swami is telling all this to Kantamma Garu. Kantamma Garu, who is telling Swami, "Swami, this is the address of my house." Swami says, "I know. When I had gone to Kaladhari village, you remember that time you came and you cleared that road. In fact, if you had not come, the villagers were so angry with Karunyanandaji, they would have hurt him that day, because they so desperately wanted me to come to their village. But it was you who came to the rescue and you cleared the way and allowed our journey forward on that day." And then Swami did not end there. Swami started laughing, and Swami said, "Who has given me the address all these days for me to come into your dreams? Who has given me the address for me to come and communicate with you every time you have a problem? So many things get done for you. Who gave me the address to come to your rescue every time you are in problem? You think I don't know anything? Last night near Pamidi, after you ate the upma, you went to the waters and you slipped and you fell. And you thought, oh my God, you thought it is all over. You cried out, 'Swami, Swami,' you thought you are sinking. But it was my will that you should be lifted up. In fact, I wanted to come there immediately and save you. But I thought, if I come there, then all the devotees who are there with me, they will also follow me. And it would be very awkward for you, isn't it? Falling into the waters there. That is why I did not come there. I did not want to embarrass you. But it was I who lifted you up. And you are telling your address to me." For Kantamma Garu, it was such a revealing moment. Yes, that night she had a rebirth, and Swami pretended he knows nothing. He simply asked, "Oh, where were you? Where have you been? Did you have upma? I've been waiting for you to give the sweet." Didn't comment anything. And that is how God is. God loves to be silent. God loves to be behind the scenes. If God were to ever come and tell us how many times He has come to our rescue, we would just be left speechless. Little things, little moments, every time you think of Him, Every time you even forget to think of him, he is there. And he does not every time come and tell, see, I protected you. See, that day when you were going for darshan, you slipped and you were about to fall, I protected you. See, that day when you were catching the train, you are almost late and I just ensured that you somehow get in. That day when you were catching the flight got delayed by half an hour. You know how it happened? That day when you were lighting the lamp and your hand got burned, but nothing happened. That day when you were coming down the stairs, you slipped, but fortunately, you didn't break your bone. God does not come and tell us every time. Many a times, we even forget to call him. And he loves to do what he does. And he does it so beautifully, so silently. And we, many times, unknowingly complain. As Swami says, you know nothing. And you talk as if you know everything. And you make your own decisions, your own judgments, your own conclusions. I know everything, but I always pretend as if I know nothing. And that is what you saw in Bhagavan. Bhagavan's childlike nature, Bhagavan. Every time you would ask those simple questions and you'd think, oh my God, Swami does not know this. Anybody who had lived with Bhagavan would have experienced that any number of times where Bhagavan would be so human. He'll almost make you feel that, yeah, you need to inform him. Otherwise, how will he know? Every time we forget that there is a power around us. Every time we miss to recognize there is someone lifting us. Every time we don't realize that there is someone who has always pulled us up. Every time we don't see the divine hand, we have not learned how to make our faith steady. We have not progressed on the spiritual path. We have not put that step forward, recognizing Bhagavan's omnipresence, omniscience and omnipotence. We have not marched forward in full confidence that he is there, because he is Bhakta Sakha Bhagavan. He is the one who is the eternal friend of every person. And a friend is someone who is closest to you. In the Navavidha Bhakti, it starts with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Mananam, Vishnusmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Before the ultimate stage of Atmanivedanam, it is Sakhyam. To befriend God, to become a friend of God. We all have that friend with us, eternal friend with us. In fact, when we sing that bhajan, Krishna Murari Bhavaya Hari, you have this beautiful line, Bhakta Sakha Bhagavan. In fact, today is a day when we should think about this Lord and recount all those moments when he was there. Moments when we realized, moments when we missed to see, and offer our love, offer our gratitude to him. Every time we sing this bhajan, there should be tears in our eyes, thinking about all those moments when God was there, yet he loved to be unseen, unknown. always so happy just to ensure that we are lifted up, expecting nothing, wanting nothing, seeking nothing.
Krishna Murari Bhava Bayahari He Giridhari Gopal Krishna Murari Bhava Bayahari He Giridhari Gopal
So that is what happened in 1963. Kantamma garu was 26 years old and Bhagwan saved her. Bhagwan let her know there is nothing in her life that he is not aware, and everything that has happened in her life, even before she came to Bhagwan, Bhagwan was there guiding. In fact, when she came to Swami, many times Swami would tell the devotees, Papam, she became a widow at such a young age. And in those days, due to prevailing customs and traditions, a widow would wear a white sari. But Kantamma garu's parents told her that it does not matter, you can wear anything. But somehow Kantamma garu chose to wear white, because somehow, as I had mentioned to you before, right from her early days, she was so influenced by the lives of saints and sages, living with her maternal uncle and reading the lives of saints and sages. She always felt that that is the way one should lead one's life. And in fact, in her mind, she had thought that she would, after a while, lead the life of an ascetic. And now that her husband passed away, the whole process sort of quickened. And even though the family did not insist that she should wear white, but she chose to wear white. And when Bhagwan would see her, Swami would say, "Oh, Papam, it's so sorry she became a widow at such a young age." And Kantama Garu once told Swami, "Swami, why are you testing me? Swami, why do you pretend to be sad? I am not sad, Swami. I don't have any family ties, Swami. It is because of this that I had this opportunity to meet you, and I have this opportunity to serve you. I have this opportunity to travel with you." She always felt that that was destiny's way of making her life completely God-centered and not have too many family responsibilities. She would say, "Swami, how would I have enjoyed this stream of happiness of knowing you and serving you?" She would always keep telling Swami internally, whenever Swami would say to someone, "Oh, Papam, she became a widow." In fact, in the very first interview, Swami told her, "I will not leave you. Be on this path steadily." Swami held her hand and Swami said, "I will not leave you." And Swami told, "I will look after your son. You just be a guardian. Just be a trustee. I will look after everything." And so, on that occasion, when she prayed to Swami, "Swami, you should come to our village, Satyavada." And after she foolishly started giving the address and Swami revealing his divine presence in her life all through, Swami said, "Yes, yes, yes, I will come next year. When I come to Rajahmundry, I will come." And in those days, Kantama Garu had the opportunity to go to Bhagwan when Swami used to have his dining sessions. Swami used to live on the western side of the mandir, and on the eastern side there used to be a room where Swami would come for having his food. Generally, Bhagwan's family, his physical earthly family, would bring the food in those days, in the 50s and 60s, and they would come to this room, this lunch room or dining room, and devotees would have the opportunity to see Swami as he moved in the mandir veranda from the west to the east in those days, and they would wait to have Bhagwan's darshan. And there were a few devotees who had the opportunity to stand inside and be there when Bhagwan used to have his food. There is a spiral staircase that leads to this room. So Kantama Garu in those days had this opportunity to be there whenever Bhagwan was having food. And that was one opportunity which she cherished. And she says on one occasion how humorously there were so many people whom Swami had permitted, about 8-10 people who had this privilege to be in that spiral staircase when Bhagwan was visiting that room for his meal sessions. And we know Swami would just have very, very little in the morning and in the evening. It would be just another occasion for Bhagwan to interact with these chosen devotees. So one day when Swami saw all these people standing on the spiral staircase, it goes winding up, and there are almost 10 people there. And then Swami looked at all of them and Swami said, "Oh, there are so many of you. Why didn't you fall on the other?" Because, you know, they were like one after the other. And so Swami would joke with these people and Swami would talk to them. And Swami, in fact, it was during such a moment that Bhagwan suddenly called Kantama Garu and blessed her with the Japamala, which I have talked before, and how Swami put her onto the path of japa. And later on, Swami took away that japmala and Swami told her that now your path is meditation, dhyana. And that is what she has been doing for so many years now. As she continues to live in the mandir, live in the room in South Prashanti, very, very close to mandir, Kantamagaru, every day you would see her interacting with young sevadals, you would see her interacting with people who are engaged in Bhagwan's work and inspiring them. She is the one who would do anything to see that the love of God germinates in the hearts of devotees. In fact, there is a book that she got reprinted on her own, with her own resources. The book has the stories of the lives of saints and sages. She revived that book and she urges the students, the sevadals and everyone to read this book because she feels that there is no better way to sanctify our life than to completely dedicate it to Bhagwan. In fact, her grandson, who was a student in Bhagwan's college, he is completely into social service. He is completely into socio care, health care, educare. After completing his Masters in Physics and Masters in Business Administration in Bhagwan's University. And this is the cascading effect of Bhagwan's love on Surya Kantamagaru. In fact, after that, this happened in 1963, this trip to Karnool, Swami's visit to Sri Sailam and Dronachalam and this incident in Pamidi that happened. Next year, Bhagwan went to Rajahmundry, 1964, and Kantamagaru had the opportunity to be there with Bhagwan during that trip. And that trip again was an unparalleled opportunity for her. Kantamagaru had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan when Bhagwan went to the holy shrine of Bhadrachalam, the sacred shrine where the saint Ramadas built that temple for Lord Sri Rama. And the beautiful things that happened during that trip were so eye-opening for all. For Kantamagaru, it was another very, very blissful trip with Bhagwan, and we'll come to that in the coming episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. There is so much to it, so I want to preserve this for the next episode. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, on this day of Sankranti, as we contemplate on Lord and as we listen to these stories of devotees, as we listen to the glories of how Bhagwan has been guiding the destiny of so many people who have given their hearts to the divine, and how he has been there lifting them up every time there was a problem, we should have this firmly in our mind that if we give our life in his hands, if we give our life in his hands, then we will see his hand in every moment of our life. For us to experience that, all we have to do is make God priority one in our life. If there is a change in the direction, in the approach to how we have led life till now, then the change could be to make God priority one in our life. Once we make God priority one in our life, we will see how we have always been priority one for God. We will experience what it is to be God's priority, God's chosen one, God's privileged one. And that joy is something that you will never ever get in the world. that joy. Even one moment of it is like Amritam. You can keep savoring it and convert every moment of sorrow into a moment of ecstasy. I will leave you with a beautiful bhajan on Rama as a prelude to the discussion on Bhagwan's journey to Bhadrachalam, which we'll discuss in the coming episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with me through this beautiful journey. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@videoside.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at his lotus feet with all joy, love and humility, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.